Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For Kevin Wheeler tonight on KMOX, I'm Chris Ranji. Good evening to you. I hope you are well. I hope you are staying warm, staying safe wherever you are out there in the city of St. Louis. Or if you are outside the city and listening on the Odyssey app, which you should be doing, it's very easy to listen to all of the shows all day, all night that way. So again, thanks for listening in to KMOX. We just spoke to Maury Brown of Forbes about the situation Major League Baseball is in regarding the players and the owners not really close to getting something done in terms of a CBA. In case you didn't know this, we are in the middle of a lockout. Baseball is currently, well, obviously it's not happening in January as it is. There are players, in fact, almost all the players are doing their preparatory work. Many of them do it throughout the entire offseason. In fact, I'd say almost all of them, with a few exceptions, are doing prep work throughout the offseason, getting ready for February, getting ready for the time where pitchers and catchers report, and then full team practices happen. And then usually, either at the end of March or beginning of April, the season begins. You know the drill. You know how this has been working. This year, though, there's a very good chance we do not see baseball as the season starts. And we're not a stranger to this. It happened in 2020 because of the pandemic. And it didn't start until the middle of the year. And then we got the 60-game season, which it didn't feel right. It was nice to see baseball with us missing sports for a long time. It was weird to see baseball with nobody in the buildings. But it just wasn't the same. You know, it wasn't the same. And now we're going to get a taste again of, we're going to get a taste of what it's like to not have baseball because of a lockout. And for a lot of people, they haven't experienced this in, well, I guess there are some lifetimes out there where you have not. Because the moments, all the times you've been alive, there's been, I don't know if I want to call it labor peace, but there hasn't been any disputes that have cost us actual baseball games. And we've been pretty fortunate when it comes to that for quite a while now. But now we're going to get a taste of it again, I think. It just does seem like we are heading that direction. Like we are heading toward an extended lockout that goes into the regular season. And when it does happen, and maybe things will change here over the next few weeks, but this is something that I've been talking about, and I know Wheels has been talking about this as well. It just feels like if we get to that point where there is not baseball at the end of March, beginning of April, when the season is supposed to start, that it's going to be a while. That it's not going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to miss 2 weeks of the season. They'll get this ironed out by the middle of April, and we're going to be good to go. Like, no. I think that if we get to the point, and we've gone through no spring training, essentially, no Cactus League, no Grapefruit League baseball during the spring, and players kind of have to ramp up and get themselves ready like they did in 2020. You remember there was no real spring. Well, we started spring training in February, and it was in the middle of spring training that everything came to a screeching halt in March. So then these players, didn't really get to do anything for 2 months, except, well, it was more than that. I guess it would have been 3 or 4 months that they really didn't get to work out with their teammates. You know, they worked out on their own, but they weren't playing baseball. So then they had to ramp up in the middle of June, July to get ready for the end of the regular season, which was only 60 games. It's not going to be the same sort of situation, I don't think. I don't think it's going to be one of those deals where they start playing baseball in August or whatever. I think it's going to be probably May, maybe June, if things go poorly. But, and I'm still holding out this hope that they will get something figured out before we get too deep into this. That they will get something figured out in March, at least, so that we can have some spring training baseball, some exhibition games that these guys can play. First of all, the owners make money off that. They make a lot of money off spring training, and I think they would like to get this done as quickly as possible. And we are, look, it's January 21st. So we're talking about, you know, at least a month before games are supposed to start, those spring training games. So there is time to get this done. It just feels like both sides are so far apart. And one side, at least to this point, and that side being the union, that side is more inclined, it seems, to dig in and to say, we want this and we're not going to budge off it because we've been doing too much budging and we're not going to do it anymore. I don't think they're going to get everything they want, but I think they are going to hold out until they get a lot of what they want. I don't think that's going to be a full season's worth of baseball, but I do think we're going to miss some significant time, whether it's a month or two. And that sucks. But I do think Maury Brown, who we just visited with, is right. And I have said this exact same thing. In fact, Wheels and I talked about this over the last couple of weeks. I think there is something to the idea that people have kind of figured out things to do outside of baseball. And I do remember that I was excited to have baseball back in 2020 during that pandemic year. But I know there were a lot of people who felt like, you know, I was okay. You know, I just kind of went about my life, even though I didn't have baseball. And maybe it was because you were so concerned with other things going on around you that baseball didn't seem as important at the time. I know for me personally, I was glad to have it back. I was hesitant. I didn't know if it was the right thing to do, but it was nice to watch, and it was good to have that back. But I do think for a lot of people, they just kind of figured out how to go about their lives without it for a while. And this is where I think Maury is correct. There are going to be a lot of people, if this whole thing with the union and the league goes on for too long, there will be, for a lot of people, a collective, whatever, I'll be fine. I'll figure out something else to do. That's why this is not like 1994. In 94, while football was continuing its popularity and, you know, it was getting stronger and stronger through the 90s, you know, there was a long time where Major League Baseball, that was the game in town. That was the most popular sport in the country. Well, football and the NBA and what the, you know, like the 90s with the Jordan Bulls, they were taking over the sports world during that time. Baseball was starting to lose its grip a little bit more then. Not entirely, but they were losing it. And then the strike just killed them. That stoppage of play in the middle of the 1994 season was just a killer for the sport. And of course, basketball got even more popular. Football continued to be more popular, and now the NFL is like the most popular thing in the country. The difference between now and then is people were, in 1994, they were angry. They were so mad, and most people were mad at the players. Most, I mean, I can't even tell you, and I probably said it myself, that the players are too greedy, they want too much. Well, since then, I have learned that that's not really the case. Yeah, sure, there are greedy players, but the reality is the players have gotten wise to how much the sport makes, and all they're saying is, you as a league are going to continue to make this kind of money regardless of what we make, so we want more of it. That's all they're saying, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They have been wise to that over the last 30 or so years. That's all that's happening here, and I am perfectly okay with that. But the difference between then and now is I do think for a lot of people, they're just going to move on. If this goes on for too long, they're just going to move on to something else. So it is in the best interest of the sport, and it is in the best interest of both sides to work this out. However, that doesn't mean that one side needs to move a little bit more than the other, because I do think that is absolutely true. Lou Korak, who covers the Blues, will join us a little bit later in the hour. We'll talk about the road trip the Blues start tonight, the small road trip going out to the West Coast. They will play in Seattle for the first time ever. Blues game in Seattle at the new, well, it's not a new arena. It's been around, but it has been renovated. They're going to play the Kraken tonight, a team that I think has, like, just the best uniforms. I love the color scheme. I love the logos. In fact, I almost wore my Kraken hat tonight, and then I realized, oh, wait, they play the Blues. I shouldn't do that. I'm not rooting for the Kraken tonight. I'm not, but I love their stuff. I think they're doing really well with all of that. On the ice, not so much. They kind of stink, and that's the way it should be when it comes to expansion teams. This Vegas Knights nonsense. Get out of here. Go into a cup final in year one. What is this crap? No, you're supposed to be bad for your first couple of seasons, and the Kraken are delivering on that. But there was some other hockey stuff that happened this week that was just amazing. And I want you to hear it and hear about it next. I'm Chris Ranji, in for Wheeler on KMOX. Oh, I love a good player-reporter fight, or an argument, or whatever they do in Canada, because it's like an argument, but it's just a little cranky. I feel like that's the most that Canadians get, is cranky. I don't feel like they ever get totally mad. They're just kind of annoyed. And so I don't know if you saw this or not, but if you didn't, oh, I've got the audio for you because it's wonderful. Oh, by the way, I'm Chris Ranji in for Kevin Wheeler on Sports Open Line tonight. Leon Draisaitl plays for the Edmonton Oilers, a team that has not been doing very well. They've missed a lot of games because of COVID issues, but they also have not won a game in over a month. In fact, that includes a loss to the Blues back in December. So the Oilers not playing very good hockey, a team that arguably has the best player in hockey on their team, just not playing well. So here is this exchange between Post media writer, and he is a member of the media, the Canadian media, has been covering Edmonton Oilers hockey for like 40 years. He's been around a long time. Jim Matheson is his name. And there's the press conference with Leon Draisaitl, and it did not go well.
Did you think the last 2 years you've been second in your division and you showed a lot of maturity, but now you've lost six in a row twice? Did you think your team was past that, not getting into these long losing streaks?
Sure, yeah.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
End of press conference. Phone call over. Just awesome, man. Okay, first of all, well, there are two things here. You don't ever really get that in St. Louis very often. We did get it during the summer when a host in town asked a question of Mike Schilt at a press conference. And this was after Carlos Martinez had blown a save. And Schilt got a little, cranky with him over it. And then, but it doesn't really happen outside of that. I mean, how often are we talking about a player or a coach and a reporter here in this city going at one another? Look, you may not like the drama, but I think that is hilarious. I love stuff like this. And it's not that I don't want to stir anything up myself. I mean, if it happens, fine. I'm not going out of my way to stir anything up. But you have to tell me. Go ahead. Well, you know what? Try and tell me that you don't think that's funny. Try and tell me that you don't like stuff like that, because that is hilarious. Leon Draisaitl, he is not having Jim Matheson's question about when they're going to get better. And yeah, maybe it's kind of a silly question, like, when are you going to start to play better hockey? You know, when are you going to start to win some games? And they're like, I don't know, man. I know reporters can ask stupid questions. And sometimes those reactions from players or from coaches who can become incredulous over it, that makes sense sometimes because the questions are so stupid. I don't feel like that was that bad. But I love it, man. I love it. I love it. I think I'm team reporter on that one. Hey, Draisaitl, play better. Why aren't you guys any good right now? You haven't won since the 18th of December. Get your stuff together. Yeah, I'm going to ask you when you're going to get better. That's the job, pal. You don't like it? Tough. Play better hockey. But I kind of wish that here in St. Louis, there would be a little bit more adversarial relationships. Just a few more. You know why? Because it's entertaining. It's entertaining when people, I think, tell one another what they think of them. And here, Draisaitl probably does not like Jim Matheson very much. But they haven't had an opportunity to talk it out because they can't really be in person. Or they would say, talk it out. They don't get the opportunity to do it. Because in Canada, things are a little bit more strict than they are here in the United States because of COVID, which is why we are not exactly sure after tonight when Buchnevich gets to play for the Blues coming out of COVID protocol, if he's going to be allowed to play in Vancouver on Sunday. We don't know yet, or Calgary. So that's a thing to keep an eye out on. He's going to play tonight in Seattle. Don't know yet about Sunday. By the way, Ville Husso is going to be in goal for the Blues tonight. Speaking of the Blues, Lou Korak covers them. He does it spectacularly. And we're going to talk with him next as the Blues play the Kraken tonight. Lou joins us next on KMOX. Chris Ranji on KMOX in place of Kevin Wheeler. He's fine. He just had to take a day off, so he gets a three-day week. There's nothing like a three-day weekend, except there's only one thing in the world better than a three-day weekend. Four-day weekend. Four-day weekends are the best. Tyler Rosen is producing the show tonight. We thank him for his hard work, and we thank you for listening tonight. I told you that we were going to talk some Blues hockey, and we're going to do that with this gentleman, Lou Korak, who covers the Blues for the NHL, for NHL.com, in fact. You've probably read his work here in St. Louis for a very long time. And as the Blues take on Seattle tonight in Seattle, Lou joins us on KMOX. Good evening, Lou. Thanks for being with us.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while, and it's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk some Blues hockey. A team that is, they're playing pretty well right now. They've won six of their last eight games. A lot of come-from-behind victories. So as you look at this team now
and the way it has been playing, where would you put it as far as a team that's fun to watch in terms of recent Blues teams? Obviously the Cup team is, you know, number one, but you look at this team and the collection and the way it's all kind of coming together. How do you see it?
Well, I'd put it right up there with what you saw in 2019. Obviously, certain variable differences there. I would probably rank the defensive unit better on that 2019 team. But to me, this one, this year, the overall depth is much better. The offense is more balanced and deeper. You've obviously seen that because, you know, unlike 2019, when you didn't have to, you know, you're going to deal with injuries every year, but you didn't have to deal with COVID. And, you know, teams have had to deal with that for, you know, the last really three seasons now. And the way this team has dealt with the losses that they've had and the pieces that they've brought in to sort of be stopgaps is pretty remarkable, Chris. I'll be honest with you. They've not only kept their head above water. I mean, they've stayed up there, and they never were any danger of going down under. It's, you know, they've been able to collect points. You just, at the time when this stuff was happening, and you just had a recent, you know, surge of it here when you had Shen and Tarasenko, Parayko was out, Perron was out. I mean, you know, right there, that's an entire line of top six guys that were missing, and your top defenseman who plays the most minutes, and yet they were able to find a way to win. I mean, it's just an example of what this team has been doing, and not only have they put themselves in a good position as they almost wrap up the first half of the season here, you know, they're comfortably in a playoff spot right now. You don't want to take it for granted, but it's a place that I didn't know that they could be in. Just with the amount of losses that they've had due to COVID and due to injuries. So I'd put them right up there with that 2019 team because they're showing all the signs that this might be a pretty special run again. Obviously, a lot has to fall into place, but so far, so good.
Yeah, well, how important is depth when it comes to that? Because obviously you want premier talent, and they've got that too, but depth can carry you for a while, but it's not necessarily the thing that can win a Stanley Cup for you. So in the context of this team, how important is it if they're going to make a Stanley Cup run this year?
Well, I think it's huge because, you know, and that's why, you know, a lot of people think, you know, when teams talk about it, they seem to think that, you know, it's cliche, but it's not because, you know, there's going to be injuries again. You know, you'd like to think that, you know, not everybody has had, you know, COVID symptoms, and obviously the NHL we see are starting to lighten up on their protocols. And that's kind of a way of getting back to some normalcy, obviously, but there's going to be injuries again. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, it's a grueling, it's a demanding sport, and you have to have guys that can step into the lineup and sort of say, I guess, not miss a beat. You'd like it, you know, that would be in a perfect world, the ideal situation. And really, when you look at these guys, I mean, 23-11-5, you'd have to think, well, if you're on the outside looking in and not understand what's going on, you'd think, well, they've been healthy, you know, they've been able to keep guys in the lineup. Well, no. But you know, those stopgap guys that you bring up from Springfield, that's why, you know, your AHL teams, you have to stock them down there, and you have to draft well. I mean, it's almost like, you know, a Ferris wheel. You want to keep this thing going round and round because, you know, there's going to be turnover. There's going to be new guys coming in, and, you know, you're going to have to find guys that are going to be those stopgap guys for you when you do miss key contributors. And so far they've been able to do that with guys like Logan Brown, Nathan Walker's jumped in. Let's see, you know, they brought up Alexei Toropchenko. I can keep going on and on here. And these guys have filled in quite admirably. So you have to be impressed with it, and it's certainly something that teams, you know, they like to talk about it quite a bit. And now, you know, firsthand seeing it, you know, from covering the team, you understand why it's important, because without them, they wouldn't be where they're at right now.
talking Blues with Lou Korak here on KMOX, and you still got Nashville and Colorado in front. And I've been sort of riding the Colorado train, not that I'm rooting for them or anything, but it's always felt like they've been, at least the last couple of years, it's felt like they've been on the verge of actually winning the whole thing. I thought last year going into the playoffs, that was my favorite. That was my team I thought was going to win the whole thing. Obviously, it didn't work out. You know, you look at them, where do the Blues compare, in your opinion, when it comes to the Avalanche, when it comes to the Preds?
I think overall, they're probably still a notch below them. Not too far, though. I mean, yeah, Colorado, you know, they're the class of the Central Division right now and playing lights-out hockey. I mean, you know, they've had the games in hand and they're starting to pull away in first place. And heck, you can make the case that they're, you know, they're the class of the Western Conference and maybe of the entire league. But, you know, I think that, you know, they can be had in a 7-game series. But to me, it's going to take, you know, you're going to have to take away a team like that. You have to take away their speed and skill. That's what they're predicated on. That's what they're all about. You have to try to take advantage of their vulnerabilities. And to me, I think where you can maybe take advantage of them is with their goaltending and with just a punishing game, some physicality. You saw what Vegas, you know, did to them last year. They just played bigger and they played smarter and they were able to push, you know, you hear a lot of coaches say, Ken Hitchcock was really good at this and saying, you want to try to push a team out of the series. And that made sense for me. It didn't make sense for me at the time when he said it, but then I kind of understood what he meant. And nothing was truer than when you watched Vegas. They pushed Colorado out of that series after falling behind 2-0. So right now, you know, Colorado's going to continue to be hungry because, like you said, they haven't won it yet. They're being built to win it with all their talent that they have, and you know it's undeniable. But I don't think the Blues are that far behind. Could they use maybe another piece or two? I would think so. And to me, probably on the defensive end, if they can somehow, and Doug Armstrong's been pretty shrewd with his deals. You've seen that here in the most recent past. If they can maybe get themselves another defenseman, kind of a stay-at-home guy that's his specialty is on the defensive end, I think the Blues can challenge them, no doubt about it.
And as we talk now, we are exactly 2 months away from the trade deadline on March 21st. Is that the direction they go? I mean, obviously, a lot of things can happen between now and then, and, you know, maybe a different need arises. But is that the most likely path if they do anything?
I think so. I mean, you'd like to think that your goaltending is on solid foundation. You know, Jordan Binnington's had some ups and downs, and it's reflective in his numbers. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Ville Husso, boy, he's shown the capability that they've got a pretty good 1-2 punch there. So you have to feel good about your goaltending right now. And like I had mentioned to you earlier, your forwards are very deeply balanced and you've got a lot of depth there. So yeah, if you want to use the word vulnerability or maybe a need, probably a need is a better way of saying it. Yeah. I would think just a stay-at-home defenseman that could complement maybe your top four is probably an area that they're going to be looking at. And if you can somehow find somebody that you can bring in there without really disrupting your core or even some of your up and coming young talent, which is going to be tough to do, but that's why Doug Armstrong has been able to pull these off. If you're able to do something along those lines, I think that's the direction they're going to look at.
Talking with Lou Korak on KMOX, and I see they're, you know, they're the Seattle Kraken, their opponent tonight. And I look at their record, I see what they've been doing this year, and it's not much. I mean, it kind of feels like we're in a return to normalcy after what's been happening with Vegas, the expansion team over the last few years, you know, an actual cup contender, which isn't supposed to happen like that when you're expansion. You're supposed to suck for a while. Here are the Kraken, and they suck. And like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. Even though they're, you know, they've, I think, Lou, they've got a fantastic, uniform, and I love their logos. I think they've done all the marketing stuff right. But it's kind of nice to see an expansion team be bad for a while.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, for a team like the Blues, you're going into that game thinking, you know, it's 2 points we should have. It's 2 points we need. But you know what? Chris, you can't look at it that. I mean, Seattle came in to St. Louis last week and had the Blues down going into the third period. That's one of those games where you were talking about come from behind victories. And these are the kinds of teams, though, that you can't take for granted, though, because, you know, they really have nothing to lose. And there's some pretty good talent on that team. I mean, they're going to miss Jaden Schwartz, a familiar face there again tonight. He's out. Vince Dunn will be in the lineup for Seattle. And they've won two in a row now. They won again last night. So these are the teams, you know, you don't want to overlook. But you're right. I mean, when you're a newcomer in a league, you want to think that you're going to have to start from the bottom up and just start working your way up. You're right. This is a normal feeling to me. Vegas is just one of those lightning in a bottle type things that happened. And I don't think the NHL is going to make that mistake again, but you know, you're right. Seattle is doing, they're doing everything the right way. They're building a foundation. That's a part of it too. I mean, but you're building a foundation. And I think their fan base understands that because I've watched a number of their games and they're pretty tempered. I mean, they're not already abandoning these guys because they're not very good and whatnot, but they have something, you know, that they can build on. So yeah, it'll be the Blues' first trip in that building. And I haven't been in there, but I heard it's magnificent. I'm looking forward to one day going there to see it. But you know, on paper, this is a game, you know, you're better than this team. And this is a game that you have to have, but you have to go out and execute. You know how that works.
I mentioned the Nashville Predators. They are in second place in the West. And what is it with the city of Nashville? Because we just got word yesterday that the Tennessee Titans are doing everything they can to keep Bengals fans from getting tickets. The Predators love doing that. They love it in the playoffs. They love trying to keep Blues fans out, Blackhawks fans out. What is it with that city?
I wish I had an answer for you, but you know what? I guess the only way I can look at it is you're trying to keep a true home field, home ice, home court advantage. You know, I mean, that's the best way I can put it. So, but to me, Chris, you know, it's inevitable. I mean, you're going to get fans of both fan bases in a building. That's just the way it is nowadays. People like to travel and go see their teams and whatnot. And I think it's almost like a challenge because I remember when the Blues played them, I believe it was 2017 in the playoffs. And yeah, that whole keep the visiting fans out of the building, and it's just going to make them, you know, more and more determined to try to get in. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to succeed on a 100% basis or not. I don't think they necessarily did, but yeah, that's good luck trying to do that in a football stadium. By the way, I don't know if you've been to the football stadium there. It's pretty nice stadium. And, you know, they do have a pretty good fan base there with the Titans. But you know what, with the Bengals finally winning a playoff game, you know, good luck trying to keep the Cincinnati faithful out of there.
I've been making the point that you should, if you're the city, take it as a compliment that people are willing to travel. And I know when your team is in the playoffs, you know, a lot of fan bases will go anywhere, but people really want to go to Nashville and hang out. So just
for a weekend,
take it as a compliment. You know, why? I'm surprised the city doesn't say, hey, cool it with this stuff. You know, we want people to travel and come to the hotels and stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you what, just, you know, as a guy who's covered the NHL for a number of years, that's one of my favorite stops. I mean, and I'm not the only one, you know, I'm sure you've heard that from a multitude of people. It is. It's one of my favorite stops. It's kind of hard not to enjoy, you know, Broadway and Fifth Street there. You got a whole line of country bars and restaurants that you can frequent. And yeah, I mean, you know, when they get the, I can't recall off the top of my head, which bowl game is it that they play there? Man, both fan bases just flock that place, and it's a place people want to go to. So yeah, I'm with you. If I'm, you know, if I'm the people and government and whatnot there of the city and the people that, you know, try to set that place up to be a place you'd want to come to, I would welcome anybody. But that's just my opinion. So.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, you're talking about the Music City Bowl, which I've never even been to Nashville. The closest I've been to Nashville is Clarksville. And that I was really young.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to get to Nashville. All of my friends love going. Everybody loves to go to Nashville, so I need to get on that. But
yeah. You're missing out. We need to get you there.
I know. I love the nightlife. And I love you, Lou, and I appreciate you being on with
me. Thanks.
Thanks for hanging
out. Absolutely.
It's good to talk to you.
Anytime. Good to talk to you too, Chris.
That is Lou Korak of NHL.com visiting with us. Blues play Seattle in a little bit over an hour from now. Come back, wrap things up. I'm Chris Ronji in for Wheeler on KMOX. That is, it's Friday night, huh? It's Friday night. We are enjoying our time here. Tyler Rosen has been producing the show tonight. I'm Chris Ronji, and I'm in for Kevin Wheeler, who will be back next week. He enjoyed a night off tonight. I want to give you great news. I have excellent baseball news for you that I'm glad to give you here on KMOX. Nope, CBA hasn't been reached, but we're going to get robot umps this year in minor league baseball. That's right. A lot of teams out west, teams like the Round Rock Express, Las Vegas, Charlotte Knights over on the East Coast, they're going to have it. Oklahoma City, Salt Lake, they're all going to have robot umpires calling balls and strikes. What a great development. I can't wait until I don't have to get mad. And I don't have to get mad at Joe West anymore anyway because he's done with baseball. But the Joe West types, I don't have to get mad at them anymore because soon enough we're going to have the automated strike zone and I can't wait. Real quick, I got to say something about a guy I used to work with in Chicago, Les Grobstein, who passed away. He was an overnight guy. He'd been doing radio for a long, long time in Chicago. And he passed away suddenly last week. Just an interesting character. And one time, I swear, on the radio, he said he wasn't sure about robot umpires because he didn't know if they were going to be able to get out of the way of the catcher on a passed ball. Because he thought there were going to be actual robots behind the plate. I miss less. And I miss stuff like that. There will not be actual robots. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Chris Ronji. You got KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.